Blog Talk Radio.
That's what people don't understand about me. It ain't that I can make so many albums and just keep going. Like, how the fuck you do that? Because it's me. It's really me. Like, I'm just talking what I go through, whatever it is. And be it good, I might say the worst shit in the world. But it's me. True.
But then you're saying shit that make people in the hood do crime. If you're not going, you're going to do it because you want to do it. But then like, you don't help them. Like, you saying that you sold drugs, and you got a gun, that this, that, that.
My moms are not, yo, nigga, I'm it's all good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? More so now.
So you tell them the downfall, whatever good.
Yeah, the evil.
That, yeah, the bad side of it.
Yeah. It's heaven, and then there's hell, nigga.
Yeah.
One day you cruising in the seven, the next day you... Your alibis ain't matching up. Bullshit catching up. You hit with the Rico, they repo that vehicle. Shit was all good just a week ago. About to start snitching, ain't you? Ready to start bitching, ain't you? I forgive you. I forgive you. Hustling just ain't you. Aside from the fast cars, honeys that shake their ass and ball, you know you wouldn't be involved with the underworld dealers, carriers of Mac Millie, East Coast bodyers, West Coast cat pillars, little monkey niggas turn gorillas. These are my rhymes, B.
Yeah.
This is my first album.
The hottest under the sun. Nobody fighting with me, man. Hey, you already know that pimpin'.
Yeah.
Cash money breakfast where dreams come true. Fuck up my dreams. Somebody gon' die tonight. Hey, you already know that pimpin'. Hey, it's Cash Money Records, man, a lawless game. Fucking believable, Little Wayne's the president. Fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em. Even if they celibate, I know the game is crazy. It's more crazy than it's ever been. I'm married to that crazy bitch. Call me Kevin Federline. It's obvious that he'll be Cash Money till the death of him. The ground she'll break when they bury him, bury him. I know one day they gotta bury him. Better lock my casket tight, baby, so I don't let the devil in. Nigga, it's just me and my guitar. Yeah, bitch, I'm heavy metalin'. You can get the fucking lid. Zeppelin. Niggas is bitches, bitches, I think they're full of estrogen. And we hold court and take your life for a settlement. Yes, I'm the best, and no, I ain't positive, I'm definite. I know the game like I'm reffing it. This is the card of three, the New Testament. And I'm the God, and this is what I bless them with. Bitch, I'm me, I'm me, I'm me. It's cash money over everything. It's in my blood, I feel it running in every vein. I'm from the mud, I am a missile like a stud. What's really good, I'm about that ruckus like FUD. And I stayed on my flow at cash money like a rug. Tied to the fucking bird man like a lug. And dear Mr. Ronald Williams, to you, I shall forever give thanks like a pilgrim. Cash money million, heir to the throne. Going at their heads like hair in a comb. Sitting by the window, I just stare at the stone. Know I'ma get through it like hair in a comb. Y'all money over bitches, my niggas trust my senses. And I will take a desert as the Lord is my witness. And you all have witnessed, but I am not finished. So keep your mouth closed and let your eyes listen. Bitch, I'm me. I'm me. Last year they had the Grammys and left me in Miami. Sleeping on a nigga like I'm rapping in my jammies. I'm rapping when you sleep, I was rapping when you were in jammies. Mel Gibson flow, lethal weapon, book 'em Danny. I'm a monster, I tell you, Monster Wayne.
business when I'm 70 years old. That's when I can't hold my shit within, so I shit on myself, cause I'm so sick and tired of shit on everybody else. I'm trying to tell you like I'm saying something. I'm from the dirty like the bottom of my pants cuffs, and there nothing gon' stop me, so just envy it. Hey, I'll accept a friendly quit. Yeah, I'm me. I'm me. Bitch, I'm me. Baby, I'm me. So who you? Fuck you. You're not me. And I know that ain't fair, but I don't care. I'm a motherfucking cash 20 millionaire. I know that ain't fair, but I don't care. I am a motherfucking cash 20 millionaire.
Kane is in the building.
With Hollywood Cole, I'm with Marla G, bro, flying Holly Grove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow. And my real friends never hearing from me. Fake friends write the wrong answers on the mirror for me. That's why I pick and choose, I don't get shit confused. I got a small circle, I'm not with different crews. We walk the same path, but got on different shoes. Live in the same building, but we got different views. I got a couple cars I never get to use. Don't like my women single, I like my chicks in twos. And these days, all the girls are down the road. I hit the strip club and all them bitches find a pole. Plus I've been sipping, so this shit is moving kinda slow. Just tell my girl to tell a friend that it's time to go.
Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and only heaven's right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dick. I got my gun in my boot purse and I don't bust back because I shoot first. Meet me on the fresh train. Yes, I'm in the building. You just on the list of guest names. And all of my riders do not give a fuck. X Games. Guns turn you boys into pussies. Sex change. And I smoke till I got chest pain. And you niggas know I rep my gang like Jesse James. Women are possessive and they wanna possess Rain. I've been fly so long I fell asleep on the fucking plane. Skinny pants and some Vans. Call me Triple A, get my advance in advance. Amen. As the world spinning, dance in my hands. Life is a beach, I'm just playing in the sand. Wake up and smell a pussy. You niggas can't see me, but never overlook me. I'm on the paper trail and ain't no telling where it took me. Yeah, and I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and only heaven's right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, yeah. I got my gun in my boot purse and I don't bust back because I shoot first. How do he say what's never said? Beautiful black woman, I bet that bitch look better red. Limping off tour cause I made more off my second leg. Motherfucking Birdman Jr., 11th grade. Ball on automatic start. I can hand it to Drake, I do a quarterback draw. Wildcat offense, check the paw print. We in the building, you niggas in the apartment. Now come on, be my blood donor. Flow so nice, she ain't gotta put a rug on her. Do it big and let the small fall under that. Damn, where you stumble that? Somewhere they may gumbo at. Hang at the fucking feet, jumping like a jumping jack. And you know me, I get on this bitch and have a heart attack. Hip hop, I'm the heart of that. Nigga, nothing short of that. President Carter, count money, Democrat. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top, but all the hell is right above it. We own it. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody shoot the money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shoot it. And I got my gun in my boot purse, and I don't bust back because I shoot first.
Peace, y'all. What's poppin'? I'm gonna do a brief show today. Thank you for joining Law Life Academy. We about to hang out for a little bit. Tonight we have open forum. I kind of wanted to get a feel for what people wanted to talk about and then chop that up. They got away from me, so I just wanted to make sure I'm adjusting accordingly. But peace, y'all. Peace in the chat. Peace on the live. On the call lines, I'm sorry. Peace. I'm a little bit out of it as far as being tired. Yeah, so what's poppin'? What y'all got rolling, man? I'm always kind of careful when I come out to start these shows because we're all throwing around the same topics for the most part. You know, someone can say authentication and you get one perception. Somebody can say certificate of title, you get another perception, so on and so forth. But I know I took up the mantle of addressing things that are being presented to us that are honestly false or frivolous in some way, shape, or form. But I feel like I'm stinking up the joint, mainly because, like, all the effort is seemingly kind of going by the wayside. A lot of people are still just caught up on, let me see this name, or let me see this person's followings, or let me see whatever it is as far as social media is concerned. And they take everything that is purported at face value. They take it as if what's being purported is 100% factual. So I kind of wanted to take a second to kind of discuss that. You know, like I noticed that one of the things we strategized on and we tried that was different was plugging on YouTube. Now, YouTube, you still got to kind of build a reputation. So, you know, you got to kind of spread the word for people to kind of follow that information. But on IG, I got the type of semi-response or result that I was looking for with the same YouTube information. So I'm going to play around with that and see what we can do. But I'm also taken back at the fact that everybody out here is trying to solicit something for free. Like, nobody has skin in the game, you know? They want you to study and show yourself approved so you can make sure that they get all the answers to the questions that they need on the test, right? But as a whole, people don't want to do their part. They just don't. So I wanted to set up an opportunity for us to talk about everything else that's going on as far as what people are dealing with. So I'll take some questions tonight. And then we can wrestle through it. But the reality is we're coming down towards the end of the year. I know it gets a little hectic for a lot of people. So I want to keep pace with that. So friendly reminder, we have an upcoming webinar on
I think it's the 28th. Let me not confuse y'all. I'm confusing myself. So let me just make sure. It's the 29th, actually. So Saturday the 29th. And that's going to be the whole private name change process, right? In addition to that, I'm not getting to the stuff that I need to as quickly as I need to, but revamping the website to keep the stuff updated and on all of our social media platforms, IG, YouTube, and so on and so forth, just making sure everything is consistent. So, yeah, as we step back, I'm waiting. Something's supposed to come for me, I believe, tomorrow, and then we'll get the party started. So I got a little project I want to work on so I can share that with y'all once I get that done. Without any further ado, we'll just get tonight's show started. Like I said, I didn't have a particular topic I wanted to come off of. I wanted to kind of keep it open so we could have some dialogue. But picking up from where we left off last week, I know that, and this is so funny to me, our downloads on Blog Talk has picked up. Like, I don't know if they show you the stats on that when y'all jump on Blog Talk for Law Life Academy. But I can see the type of conversations that people are interested in. So let me just say people are still listening. They're gathering up this information. And I've seen the same thing on the highlights on IG as well. So I see the amount of shares and the amount of saves, which is funny. But in any instance, as it sits right now, a lot of people don't have a foundation. So I spoke to the name change, and if you completed that, then you would want to assert that separation. So naturally, you would look for some opportunities to go ahead and establish a record showing proof of that separation. So maybe I'll go into that, not tonight, but for one of our YouTube videos and talk about maybe briefly the DBA and how that can spring you forward in terms of your transition to operate and manage your affairs privately, right? Let me jump in and I'm gonna just tag somebody in unless there's any questions in the chat, because I'm really not necessarily feeling it to dig into, unless y'all give me something that we could tear up, but to dig into a particular topic. Peace 901 270, I'm gonna jump to you. What's poppin'?
Good prop.
What's up, man?
You're probably going to give me the boot shortly. So, what's good?
Nothing, just outside at the moment.
Oh, all right.
To join his brother.
No doubt. Let me. Just hit me when you want to chime in, because I don't know what you're dealing with.
All right. No. I'm good. I can do some dialogue.
Oh, okay. So, what do you want to talk about?
Mindset. Let's touch on mindset for a little bit.
All right, go with it.
What? All right. I'm gonna start off with two questions, and they're gonna segue into each other. What is a person's mindset when it comes to listening, gathering, or comprehending this information, and what are they doing with it? What do they expect to get out of this?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know. A lot of people, from my perspective, are reactive, right? They're not proactive, meaning that they have a bunch of experiences and they can identify that something is not necessarily
going as smooth as possible
for them. So they know something is wrong, but they just can't put their finger on it. But a lot of people wait until something happens, and oftentimes, like, they wait till it gets out of control. You know, it's not like something happened, they go seek help. They wait till it get out of control, and they lost all of their rights as it relates to dealing with or addressing that issue. So, yeah, that's my perspective on that. Sorry.
Yeah, because I find that you have people that enter and leave groups either due to the mindset that they came in with or not receiving certain information that they're looking for. And that also goes back to the statement you made earlier of people are looking for information for free, to an aspect of wanting them to do the work for them.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's loyal to any particular person that shares information. And you can see the confusion from that perspective. Like, you mm-hmm. have people who assume that because the topic is the same, that the individuals speaking on the topic are really knowledgeable, one, and then two, that they're saying the same thing. And more often than not, they're not.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
Well, all right, let's have some fun. Because my thing is this, yo, y'all know I look at anything, to be honest with you. You give me a name, you give me a link to something, for the most part, I'm a lifelong learner. I'm committed to lifelong learning. So as it relates to my interest and the things that, you know, kind of peak for me, it's like I pay attention to who's disseminating information and what type of information they're disseminating. So ironic that it's September 29, 2022, and people are still going out authenticating birth certificates. Like, that's ironic. And that's to show you that it's almost damn near impossible, and I hate to say it like this, but it's damn near impossible to break the cycle, right? Because you have people that are muttering through this stuff, and they tell people, like, to go read for themselves, and I find it surprising, given the way I can capture, you know, the videos I'm looking to do, I might just do that for a video for, yeah, I might just do that for IG because everybody's just sick over this stuff. And they'll tell you UCCs. They'll tell you all type of stuff. And they'll tell you that according to Minnesota Rule 220, that document is your title. And it's not. The whole point is to go and get a certificate of title. Now, if people know what I know, and I figured out realistically why a lot of people are having challenges with the Minnesota Rule 220. You know, I never got to play that game because, all right, let me say it like this. So I said to a group of people that if you have an American birth certificate, and Minnesota Rule 220 provides you with the actual law or statute, right, relating to perfecting that birth certificate. One, why wouldn't you go through Minnesota, seeing that they put out the information? Two, why wouldn't you want to secure a certificate of title as it relates to what they're doing? The problem is many people have tried and they weren't successful. Now, why weren't they successful? Because of the moving components. And I'm not going to get into it to give it away. Like, people want to figure that out, they can, you know, interact, right? So at the end of the day, what people fail to realize is I'm always coming from the mindset of I give you options. I came in day one, and you know, anyone that's familiar with that can speak to it. Day one, I said, I'm not doing anything as it relates to Minnesota Rule 20 or so on and so forth, that I would just make it so easy, according to the actual laws, to take over that BC. But because people lack the foundation, we're talking about greenies, right? Just completely green, right? They lack the foundation. I try to help them create that foundation or establish that foundation so that they would stay within the parameters of what they were doing and then what they were taught. But no one has the patience to put in the footing or put in the groundwork. They just want results. And for the life of me, I keep trying to tell people, you know, what would they say about fast money, Six?
Fast money don't last long.
Fast money don't last long. What do they say about shit that you get quick and easy?
You don't appreciate shit, to be honest with you.
So that's the common thought process, right? That it don't last, that at the end of the day, appreciate that in the chat, that it don't last, that at the end of the day, you don't appreciate it. And then you can't even defend whether or not what you did was correct, as we can see with a conversation you had with somebody in the chat, right? So at the end of the day, I'm not saying that that person was saying things that were erroneous, right? I'm saying the way in which they approached it is what I was taken back by, hence why I didn't get involved. Because it seems as though we are smitten by the way information is shared, right? Like, let me say it a different way. So depending on the school of thought, you know, be it a Jonah Bear, Yusuf L., I don't know nobody else like that, or anybody else out there for that matter, right? So you get that information, and all of a sudden, your loyalty to not the information but the individual is heightened, right? Because now it's like, and I dare not say because it's been like that, but it's like this cult-ish attack on people, right? So if you're not down with so-and-so and down with so-and-so's teaching, then you are the devil, for lack of a better term, right? And the reality is, why aren't we helping people to grow? You grow by exercising your mind. I can teach you something. It doesn't necessarily mean that you should execute it or that you're going to see it through my lens and only my lens, and you're not going to have your own input or perspective. What you think about that? I think people are just scared to be themselves.
It can boil down to, like, say school, for instance. They teach you, oh, it's only this way to do it. So a person that has been indoctrinated like that is like, oh, well, if I learn the quote-unquote SPC process, then this is the way to do it. It don't work that way.
But even in that, SPC is not the true acronym. There is an SP, then there is a separation with C. So you have what is considered a secured party, and then you have creditor. There is no term in their statutory declaration that claims that there's an SP and a C. There's no such thing. So that's just the level of, level of confusion and the lack of understanding that's out there, right? Because if you come in and say you're a secure party, what are you securing? And then if you're a creditor, what are you a creditor for, right? Because at the end of the day, you're not a secure party creditor for anything. So why are people making these claims? It's no different than saying that, you know, I'm a national but not a citizen. It's no different. And unless I'm missing it and y'all can help me, right, there is no difference. Right?
Didn't I talk about the passport thing the other day? Did we not talk about passport like last week? I don't be keeping up with all this shit, so. I don't go back and listen to my show. Go ahead.
I said 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it was a couple weeks ago. And I brought up the passport because we were talking about this whole concept of entity classifications, if you will, right? So national versus citizen, and thinking that there is a separation between them. There isn't. There's absolutely none. Now, a lot of the products in terms of information that I have came from, you know, the footing of, I'll just say it, from Jonah Bay, right? That's who I used to give my hard-earned dollars to support the cause and at the same time to get the information that I was paying for. That's it. So when I look at the information provided through that source, it's like, what are we really talking about? So these individuals will confuse you and tell you that you can be a national but not a citizen of. Well, at the end of the day, it is true that you can throw a name on a passport and that you can separate with zeros or fill out the form according to whatever they want, and then you get a passport. But it's no different than a comment I saw, which, it's actually different, but it's a little bit confusing. So let me say this. One of the comments I saw in the group chat was on Telegram, right, was in our group chat on Telegram, was someone made a claim, about jurisdiction, and that when you set up a foreign trust and you get an EIN, that it automatically brings you back into their jurisdiction. You know, that makes sense, right? For someone who is not educated about the rules to the game. And whose rules are they? Let me explain something. Whether you have a private trust or a public trust or what have you, when it comes to doing business, there is a protocol that is observed in the public. And who observes these protocols? The banks. So let's talk about it briefly. You cannot bank with the bank without having certain information available to them. That's just a given. So when you do say you're going to set up a bank account, guess what? That bank wants access to the number that affords you the opportunity to do trade or business with them. Does that make sense? So if you have a 9-8, guess what? You're going to have to give up that 9-8 to the bank, but the bank does not change the jurisdiction of the number. The number is already a foreign entity. What blows me away is, like, people act as though that there aren't trillions of people. I don't know if we have so many, but trillions of people all across the world that is doing trade or business with the United States, but they don't live here. How do they do it? How does someone in Europe set up and collect funds over here in the U.S. for a business entity, if they so choose, that they're functioning here?
May I chime in on that?
Please.
Well, according to the rules, there are foreign parameters for those people in different countries to do business over here.
And do they have to claim to be citizens or nationals? No, they don't.
Nope.
No, they don't. Do they need to come and deceive the Secretary of State into getting a fictitious passport or a faulty passport? No, they don't. Because they don't need one. They know they're foreign to this company or corporation that currently exists. Deception is fraud, absolutely. But why do people make it seem as though you can't open a bank account, right, and stay in the private? That's the way that comment read, right? That at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you're going to go out and you're going to maximize this EIN as if the EIN has anything to do with the laws that govern, and they may have had a point with that, the laws that govern the entity. Yes, absolutely. You get to dictate what laws govern the entity. But if you want to move around money in a public system, you got to comply with the banks, no?
Yep.
And the banks set the rules. So if you don't want to do business with them, which is perfectly fine, then you would probably say you have a private trust, and that private trust, and here's the thing, I don't know where people get off of these private and all of this stuff. Private, let me be careful. See, the thing is, I'll give you an example. You set up a trust. You say your trust is private. That trust takes over property. Let's give you an example as a house. The house is in public domain, always is, always will be, right? So in order for you to take that over and so-called, I don't want to say remove it from the public domain, but add a layer of separation from the public domain, you need to comply with the courts. So you buy a property or you have a property, not saying that you always are going to pay taxes. We know there's ways around all of that stuff. But you have to be able to secure that property under that entity in order for you to get the breaks that you're looking for. Right? So how do you do that? The courts are going to dictate that for you to transfer title, as if you just bought a house, that you need to go and you need to pay this and pay that. And then they establish that change for you. But before any of that happened, you had to go pay this and pay that. So is your trust private? Yeah, I didn't want to go there in the chat. Oh boy, I'm telling you. Boy, sharp up there. I ain't even going to lie to you. I didn't want to go there in the chat. Yeah, I see you. I danced around that. I didn't want to say that. But yeah, I danced around it. But you got it, though. 100%. Right, we learning, no doubt. Boy, that boy shot. But yeah, the reality is, at the end of the day, the idea that something is private is predicated on the fact that nobody knows about it, except for those that are a part of it, right? So again, if you buy a house and you're going to take over that house, you got to comply with how property is transferred. Now, that's different because that's real property. Personal property and trust operates differently, i.e. cars and everything else, right? The movable objects, excuse me, right? They have a different compliance. And most people don't know that if all you have in your trust is personal property, the law does not... And people need to know this. There is no reason to put that out in the public. There is no reason. What do you think about that?
Once it's put out in the public, it has been breached.
Well, no, not from that perspective. I don't mean like breaching the trust. I mean, like, you don't need to go and do a registration of a trust, right, as an example, with county clerk or secretary of state, depending on what your state does, you wouldn't have to go through any of that because at the end of the day, it's not required. That's all I'm trying to say. It's not applicable, right? Now, one would say, well, how do you enforce? Again, you get it? I don't know if you get it. But in any instance, all the other stuff that I teach that goes along with before you even set up trust, that's how you enforce. So that's where those DBAs, those copyrights, and different things like that will come into place. And if you had, for example, a car, you already know how to transfer that property. right? So you would do those things. But depending on the type of trust that you have, like, you know, and most people got to be careful. Let me pose a question. Yeah, all right, let me pose a question. Many people say they're private. So I want to ask a hypothetical question, but it's not hypothetical because this is what people do, right? So it's hypothetical, but it's not. All right. So you set up a trust. Boom. The trust wants to acquire property. Let's not make it too complicated. Let's say you buy a car. You get a car, and that name of the trust becomes the owner of the car. No problem. And that car is registered in their system. Are you in a foreign jurisdiction if you had a 9-8 trust doing that? Or are you in a domestic jurisdiction because of you taking a 9-8 and putting it into their system? What do you think? I don't know if I framed that correctly, but you get the gist of what I'm asking.
Let me answer that. You put yourself in a domestic jurisdiction because you are in their registration system.
So why are we even talking about this? I've had gurus sell me templates saying that this car trust or this type of trust and this type, like at the end of the day, you understand that if you get anything from them, that you're under their jurisdiction. Not necessarily speaking of the EINs, though. Right? Because people feel as though, oh, I get an EIN from them. No, the EINs are separated. A 9-8, according to them, is not tracked by them. So what jurisdiction are you violating by getting a 9-8 EIN? None.
Well,
they set it
up
for that
would have read the...
Go ahead.
Now, I say if the person would have read the instructions to that, then they would have known that.
But that's what I'm saying. A 9-8, listen, y'all, listen. Let me explain something to y'all. Most people don't understand, right? When I look at asset protection, and that's all these things are, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're trying to protect all the assets that you have available to you. When I look at asset protection, it is... realistically, the most effective way of executing it is by having layers to your strategy. So I'll give you an example. You have this one big entity, and this big entity is doing all type of stuff with these smaller entities, and all of these smaller entities fall under the umbrella of that big entity. That's what I mean by layers, right? Just to give you a scenario. So, boom, mm-hmm. If you have a particular property and you're trying to protect that, and I'll give it to you the way I've done it, and I'll say we were taught like this, and I accept that, right? Because at the end of the day, it actually according to the entity types we're using, it actually makes freaking sense. So what am I trying to say? When you set up a 9-8, the IRS will allow you to do entity classification. I think that's the 8832. Let me pull that up. I haven't seen that form in a minute. I don't remember what the name of it is. Let me see if I can pull
it
up.
Thank you, what? Entity classification?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. All right. So, let me give a current form. Let me see. So, the form you are looking for begins on the next page of this file. I don't know why they did it like this. Before viewing it, please see the important updated information below. So this is as of 2022. Now, new mailing address. The mailing address for form 8832 has changed since the form was last published. So this is what they need y'all to be aware of. So the updated mailing addresses are shown below. That's all that's changed, right? Now, what's crazy is taxpayers in the states below, I love how they classify them, taxpayers, and one of the Department of Treasury is going to be in Kansas City, right? And this would be for a lot of the, what looks like, outside of Wisconsin, Kentucky. Well, I don't know. I don't even know. Kentucky is what, Midwest? Whatever. Most of these states are East Coast. You know, you got Delaware, District of Columbia, Maryland, Mass, Jersey, New York, Penn, Rhode Island, South, North, Virginia, and so on and so forth. Then you have the other one in Ogden, right? And Ogden is good for people like Floridians, Texans, what's all this? Californians. I'm trying to see all the people I deal with. People from Colorado. I don't know what the hell you call them. People from Tennessee, Minnesota, right? So you would send all of your information on this document to Ogden, Utah. Now, here it says a foreign country. And they go to Ogden. Come on, my screen. All right. So that's all that's changed. Filers should rely on the update for the changes described, which will be incorporated in the next version of the form's instructions. So they're going to add it to the instructions. It's not in there. So check this out. 8832, and they got instructions for it. Name of eligible entity making the election. Then they want an EIN number. Name of eligible entity making an election. Then they want an EIN number. So what most people fail to realize is when it really, as it really relates to, and you know, I think I messed up again. I don't think the audio is pretty good. I know y'all can hear me, but for some reason, I think I still have my thing on silent. Let me go back to the screen. I'm trying to get back to the screen. Where are you? Right here. I came up. So, wonder why the two different. It's just how they break up the entire country as far as the question in the chat. What I wanted to say is the eligible entity making the election EIN number is required, right? So what people fail to realize is this. You know, everyone takes the stance of forcing the hand of the individuals who are supposed to change your status. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. So let me tell you what I mean by that. In 2015, we started looking at, if I'm not mistaken, could have been going into 2016, but I believe it was 15. We started looking at the super injunction. How many people have had success with the super injunction, the so-called super injunction? Nobody talks about that.
Right. I have.
I'm sorry? What'd you say?
No, I was saying I have not heard anybody with success with that.
Yeah, I've never heard anything about that, right? Supposed to shut down the feds and all of this stuff. Never did, right? So what we learned during that time was when it comes to identifying you as not a citizen, the statutes, and I'd have to go back to it, spoke to the fact that the IRS was responsible for changing your status. And they said it in a way like this. You didn't have to do anything. Once they identified that your status was changed, they would have provided you with the proper passport information or document that would separate you from the U.S. So what am I trying to say? Even though there's two classifications, citizen and non-citizen, on the passport, all of these erroneous things that people are doing in terms of the explanatory statement with the DS-11, again, that so-called explanatory statement was not to be supplemented with the DS-11 form. That's incorrect, right? So people have been bogarting their way, pushing through, right, by getting these things done. And they got the result. They have a passport that they say claims that they're a non-citizen national. And I say all of that because at the end of the day, it doesn't stop them from getting picked up. It hasn't stopped them from getting picked up by the feds. Because they go past the state officials and they think they're doing something. Now, if you look at this 8832 form, it gives you the opportunity, and it's automatic. You know what's funny? The EIN in the top right-hand corner is in bold black lettering. Why is that? Because it's important. So they want the name
of the entity,
make an election. They want address, right? Those are the second and third line. And it's a very simple form. Then you can do an address change by using this form, which is not really the form you use, but whatever. You can do a late classification relief sought under revenue procedure, whatever the case may be. And then you have relief for a late change of entity classification election sought under a different version of that. So it's simple. Number one, type of election. Is it an initial election or is it a change in current election? You choose that. 2A, has the eligible entity previously, and you know what it is, yes or no. Was the entity prior election an initial classification, yes or no. Does the eligible entity have more than one, or yes or no. If the eligible entity has only one owner, provide the following information. So if it's only one owner, put the damn owner's information. Now, here's the key to that. They have name of owner, this is line four, and then it says identifying number of owner. Hello? Hello?
Oh, boy.
So I don't know why people get confused as if you're going to operate and function in commerce but not comply with these people's requirements. They know that there's some of us that are equipped with the mind to see, you know. So they gave us an out. Now watch this. Here's where most people get confused. And this is for my people that want to say they doing this and they doing that. No pressure. Type of entity is number six. They got A through F. That's six different classifications. First one. A domestic eligible entity electing to be classified as an association taxable as a corporation. Okay, cool. A domestic eligible entity electing to be classified as a partnership. A domestic eligible entity with a single owner electing to be disregarded as a separate entity. And then they give you the foreign versions of all of those three. Number seven says, if the eligible entity is created or organized in a foreign jurisdiction, provide the foreign country of the organization. Election is to be effective beginning, and they want the month and year. Name and title of contact person whom the IRS may call for information. That's what they need. Now watch this. Then they put a little affidavit in here, right? Under penalty and you all know how this go. On the penalty of perjury, I, we, consent to the election of the above-named entity to be classified as indicated above, and that I, we, have examined this election and consent statement, and to the best of our knowledge and belief, this is how they trick y'all. This is what most people quote. Let me not teach y'all about affidavits, but that's neither here nor there. This election and consent statement are true, correct, and complete. All right. What I'm trying to say is they get you when you start talking about your belief. Belief is hearsay. If I am an officer, manager, or member signing the entity, I further be clear on the penalties of perjury that I am authorized to make this. And that's it. So here's what they want. Signatures, date, and title. All right, that's on page 2. Late election relief. And then if you got to provide a statement for those that are late, they give you another section. And then they have the instructions. But that's it. So what this form actually does is helps with that umbrella setup. Do you get it? All right, let me explain it to you. So the umbrella setup that we're talking about is the whole asset protection strategy, right? So what they allow you to do is they allow you to maximize a foreign entity. So your 9-8 becomes that hoarding entity. And I say hoarding for just not to use other terms, but at the same time, this is the entity that is going to own everything but not participate in nothing. So if it's going to own everything and not participate in nothing, the only thing that it really can do is set up a bank account, which people are trying to deprive the 9-8 from doing because it shouldn't have any assets. All right? Now, we tell you, go and get your estate and operate your estate. Do you know nobody operates the estate?
Yep.
Nobody. Now, I'll touch on that for a second. So people have taken other people's work. I forgot the guy's name. But he wrote the, let me see if I can find it on my computer, because I'm pretty sure I have a copy of that too. What's the name of the freaking thing? Executor letter. If you type an executor letter into just David Clarence. That's what I couldn't remember. Ooh, see, I say it out loud and I get it back. So David Clarence is one of the first, or if not the first, to establish the office of executor. Now, I don't know the details as to how he went and did that as far as it relates to an EIN for an estate and so on and so forth. I never dug into his thing, right? But people have taken his document and they've repurposed it, and they're selling it for $600. You can get a free copy of it on the internet, but you can also pay $600 for it, right? So,
jeez.
You get the office acknowledged, but the problem is that you really didn't set up the fucking office. Not according to law. I'll give you a better example. The injunction works. Let me say it again. The injunction works.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of flaws in the injunction. Hindsight is 20/20. We were taught that we were operating trust and express trust at this juncture, hindsight, right? Because we got that information in 2019, is when that started coming around, and I got to it 2020, right? So if we did an injunction in 2014, I don't want to play nobody. And it was stylized. It was stylized the new name doing business is the old name. Therein lies the challenge. I just helped a lot of y'all for free. Right? So the problem is that people are missing how to actually do what it is that the law requires them to do and at the same time protect themselves. Let me divert back and I'll come back to the estate stuff in a second. Let me say something else on that before I go back. The estate is not acknowledged, but yet still David Clarence made the claim that he was the executor and they had to respect that. So likewise, the injunction is
in the same boat. I don't know if you get it.
There are some key components missing with the two documents.
Absolutely. So let's dig into that. You're so sharp. Let's dig into that.
I was just letting
anyone,
you rock, but I had to jump in real quick.
No doubt. But for anyone to actually claim to be an executor, they need, by law, court approval. And yes, court is on paper, but you need court approval. Ooh, who's teaching that? Who's teaching that? Maybe I'll get into the estate stuff next week. I don't know. But let's just say, without the court's acknowledgement, you just running around. That's all you're doing. Just running around. Now, because of the type of entity and what the executor, is authorized to do, right? A lot of people get away with like flashing their fake badge. You ever seen Rush Hour 2? Flip it open, flip it close. Flip it open, flip it close.
Hey, don't drop it.
Flip it open, flip it close. Flip it open, flip it close. That's all they're doing. But they're not complying with law. And therefore, and this is how I know, what I know. Without court approval, you are not getting access to your bank account. You know, the one that you need to set up. And if your guru is teaching you that you go and ask for, what was that shit? I forgot all that shit. It's been a minute. You know, you go into the bank, man. What the fuck is the type of account that you're trying to set up?
Non-interest
bearing account. Yep, that's one of them. And what's the other part?
I don't remember.
It's non-interest bearing, which is perfectly fine. You can get a non-interest bearing, but the other part was erroneous, and I can't remember the other part. But let's just say at the end of the day, just so everyone is clear, if you are operating an estate properly, and the whole point of operating an estate is to settle the debt between the debtor and the creditors. If you are administering debt and credit, you need to have a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole purpose. But you can't get that bank account unless you get acknowledged by the courts. Now, you can go set up a version of whatever the fuck you want to call it behind that. Like, I was sold a trust document for an estate. They're not the same thing. Damn, I still probably have that erroneous-ass paperwork from the bank, too. Non-interest bearing and something else. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to tell you is that most of the gurus have not talked to y'all about estate, and most of them stay away from it because it's not easily manipulated. Hence why when you go online to set these things up, they have changed the process because a lot of people were abusing it. A lot of people killed their straw man way too early. Just my thoughts, people. Just my thoughts. What'd you think about that, man?
Sounds like there's a lot of tightening up to do.
Like a lot of what?
Tightening up.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a headache, man. To be honest with you, bro, like, I don't dig into these things because people just run amok. And I often say, you know, I got nieces and nephews to look after, right? Like, I want to preserve some of this information, this knowledge for them and protect them in, you know, walking through a lot of these things. But when we disseminate this information, like, you know, we want to talk about it, EIN gives you jurisdiction. The whole point of the 8832 is to help you address jurisdiction. A foreign eligible entity with a single owner electing to be disregarded as a separate entity. You know, boy, I hope people understand what they did. But the answer, well, I shouldn't even tell y'all what the answer is to that section, but it is what it is, right? Like, at the end of the day, what I realized was the 9-8s stand alone. When people want to talk about jurisdiction or having these EINs and how they bring you back into jurisdiction, here's how it works. So in order for you to set up an umbrella, right? Let's say you go and you create 15 different 9-8s and you wanted one 9-8 to be the master and then all of the other 14 to be like in that, you know, pyramid scheme, right? This entity over that entity, then this one on that one, and all of this shit. At the end of the day, it's not necessary, nor is it effective for you to do that. Why? Because the entity type you've selected is a standalone entity. What do I mean? Let me give it to you in reverse. If you have a 9-8, you have an estate, and you have an LLC, you can have the LLC under the estate and the estate under the 9-8. That is completely appropriate. And by doing that, your estate, which is a domestic entity, and your LLC, which is a domestic entity, fall under the jurisdiction and the protection of the 9-8, which is a foreign entity. Get it?
And see, that right there, that's two layers of protection if somebody's paying attention.
Oh, I gave away some beans, I know. But it's for them. It's for them. Right? But you got to know what you're doing. And a lot of people don't know what they're doing. They're just trying at these things. Any questions on that or anything that we went over so far? Anything you want to add to that? I think I'm gonna wrap up shortly. Go ahead.
That was very informative. Brings me back to when I first was introduced to this many years ago and not to this level.
I got you. Yeah, at the end of the day, look, anybody can say they're doing anything, right? And the trick question that I asked earlier, like if you set up a trust and you have a car and you put that car into their system under that entity type, right? So now you have, let's say you have a 9-8 trust and you register that 9-8 trust with DMV, yeah, you're putting the trust in their jurisdiction. You are. It's foreign, mm-hmm. But you just made it fucking domestic. Why? Because you're complying with their so-called requirements. So now when your vehicle is out and you're like, oh, I got a foreign entity, and the police officer runs that damn license plate and it says Texas or it says Wyoming or it says Wisconsin or whatever the case may be, you're under their jurisdiction.
Yeah, they're going to be like, ah, my nigga, come on, get this contract.
But they don't know anything about your setup. They don't know anything about the language that's in your trust. So they're not policing that. They're policing exactly what they see. And what they see is that you have
what they police, which is what.
Nice yep. Thing. That's why I said, my nigga, come on, get this contract. You got our shit. Come on, get it. Come on, sign up for our contract.
So you can be crafty. You can be good at, you know, setting up these different structures, but then how you are putting it out into commerce can dictate who and what can violate you. I hope that makes sense. What I will do is I start going into the estate stuff, because at the end of the day, the estate is like where it's at. That's where it's at. Rule 17, just read it for the viewers, just so everybody can realize, because it's like, I pay attention to shit, right? I pay attention to shit. Let me just run back to Rule 17, because it's like, this is like the easiest thing for people to get. Because it says it right at the top. What's number one? And this is how you know who's the boss. Who's the real party in interest? Real party in interest. I'm going to have to go back and start researching some of this shit again, man, so I can get back shipped up. Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm looking up real party of interest. All right. Let's see what this says. A real party in interest is the person or entity, one and the same, whose rights are involved and stands to gain from a lawsuit or petition, even though the plaintiff who filed the suit is someone else. Often called a nominal plaintiff, it is the person who will be entitled to benefits of a court action if successful. One who is actually and substantially interested in the subject matter, as opposed to one who has only a nominal, formal, or technical interest in or connected. You want me to give you the best example of what the real party is, are the real party in interest is? Have you ever heard of a security agreement?
Mm-hmm.
So within a security agreement, which often stems from some type of note, right? Because there's a creation of an obligation or a service, right? And
yep.
When that's created, what they are asking people to do from one side of the fence to the other side of the fence is to comply. So what tends to happen in a security agreement is majority of these security agreements will say something to the effect of whoever the creditor is, as an example, doing this, making this loan, providing this service, whatever the case may be, contingent on the expectation that so-and-so is one going to give them interest in certain properties, right? So they gain interest in those properties. But the killer thing is this. They'll write a part of the contract in the same sense of exactly what I just read, and it'll be like this. Six, you and I have a contract. I'm the creditor. You the debtor. I got interest in everything that you're putting up for collateral, right? And when I take that collateral interest, what I'm saying to you now is you have to protect my interest above everybody else that may come. Any other creditors, it doesn't matter what's going on. You got to protect my interest. So this is typically how they do it. The creditors don't get out on the front line to go defend nothing. The debtor has to do it on behalf of the creditor. So who's really the party of interest? Is it the debtor? Because the debtor already put the shit up for collateral. Or is it the creditor? That's what the real party of interest is. the creditor,
mm-hmm.
and that is Don, is the real party in interest. And here's what they say. Go back to Rule 17. I like this shit. Designation in general. An action must be prosecuted in the name of the real party in interest. The following may sue in their own names without joining the person for whose benefit the action is sought. Whose benefit is the action sought for? The creditor. The creditor. So who has standing in their capacity? Number one, or A, an executor. An executor.
Yes, they named the first person. The first one.
The first one. You think these people got it? They didn't put the court administrator above the executor. They didn't put the guardian above the executor. They didn't put the bailee above the executor. They told you up front the illest position is the executor. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody. If you're not an executor, you ain't saying nothing. And then when they change the scope of the entity, you drop down to E, and it tells you a trustee of an express trust. See, what most people would miss is B, C, and E all applies and are what's the word I'm looking for? It's similar to an executor. Like, I'll give you an example. When you fill out the
estate, synonymous.
Synonymous. When you fill out the EIN, the SS4 for the EIN of the estate, they tell you to choose. Wait, SS4. Let me pull that shit up. And the two that they, if you're filling out an estate. For an estate EIN, the two entity types that you can select on line 3, let's be clear, right? Remember, we're talking about using this for estate. There's three entity types that you can, or positions that you can have on number 3. Executor is number 1. Administrator is 2. And then there's trustee. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that administrator and executor apply to the estate. A trustee does not apply to the estate because that's not the office or the function. What they did is they combined a estate and a trust when they created that 666 number. What am I trying to talk about? That CESCV trust. It's a trust estate. There is no such fucking entity that we can create in real life that is a trust estate. There is no such thing. It's either an estate or it's a trust. Or it's a trust or it's an estate. You get it?
Yeah, because if it did, they would have something for us to fill out to create that shit.
But this is how you know. When you go to 9A on the SS4, the entity types are separated. Right? Notice,
yep.
on line three, right? You would think if you're setting up a freaking corporation, that it would say CEO or some shit over there, right? But it doesn't speak to it. It doesn't speak to it. Because when you read the instructions, they're telling you what applies to what type of entity, right? So when you get down to 9A, you go to the right, it says estate. Social Security of decedent. But in the IRS manual, it already told you that a minor is a decedent estate. You already a dead man. I don't know if y'all are getting this shit. Hey. Any other thoughts before I conclude, bro? I did not want to start reading no bunch of shit, but 8832, that's your friend. That's how you separate some of this jurisdiction crap that people are confused about. As I told you, you cannot, nor will the IRS acknowledge you putting 198 under another 98 because it's already fucking foreign. Ask me how I know, because I already dug into all of this shit, literally. Final questions, final comments, final thoughts.
None whatsoever. Let's close out.
All right, bro. That's it for me tonight. Peace and love in the chat. We ended in a couple minutes early. We got like 10 minutes, but I just want to stop. I feel like I'm digging into some things I didn't want to get into, but it's all good. You know, it'll help clear the air. What I will do is on Tuesday and Thursday, so let's do this. Somebody remind me, and then we'll talk about estates next Tuesday.
Mm.
This was a law and CPA course all at the same time. Oh man, I can't even begin to. And these are things that are, to me, that are advanced. It's not something that is basic. Reason why I don't get somebody in like I was brought in and say, go grab this number and grab that number, is because people do not know what rules to follow. And one of the first rules is banking. The whole point of the freaking EIN number is for banking purposes. Right? That's why anybody gets a freaking bank EIN number. To go bank. So if you set up an estate and you don't set up an account for banking purposes, you are not complying with the requirements of getting a 9-8, which I've heard people say that you can't open up a bank account for. That's false. Absolutely fucking false. But what do they have to do? They have to set up that bank account within a certain time frame. I'm going to start digging for my IRS forms again and go over some of that stuff, because I haven't looked at half of that shit in a minute. You know that, what is it? What is the form 570? What is it? 575 P9. I can't remember the name of the fucking form. But it's the one that you print out after you get your EIN.
Oh yeah, CP575.
That's what I thought. CP575, right? So it'll tell you everything that you need to know. You know how many people don't read them shit? But it's not the internet. All right, dope, man. Everybody that's tuning in, appreciate y'all. We'll tap in next Tuesday and Thursday. Check us out on YouTube, and then we got the upcoming webinar on the 29th. So, yeah, we'll see you then. All right, peace.
Okay.